Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
In today's episode, I'll be sharing two cases. The first story is about a 21-year-old Clark Atlanta University student who first went missing in November 2019. The story of Alexis Crawford is disturbing and tragic. It's a story of violation, betrayal, and eventually murder. Who would want to kill Alexis, and why? The second story is a more well-known case. It's about the suspicious death of 23-year-old Alonzo Brooks. In 2004, Alonzo went missing after attending a party. A month later, his body was found near a creek. Many believe that Alonzo was targeted because of his race. Finally ruled a homicide in 2021, who was Alonzo's killer, and what was their motive? I'm your host, Nisa. Welcome to the Lost Crimes Library. These are the stories of the mysterious murder of Alexis Crawford and the suspicious killing of Alonzo Brooks. On November 8, 2019, the body of a young black woman named Alexis Janae Crawford was discovered at a park in DeKalb County, Atlanta. Alexis was only 21 years old, and it was determined that she had died of asphyxiation. She was initially reported missing a week before, on November 1, 2019. When she was reported missing, police already believed that it was likely that she was murdered, but that didn't take away from the shock when they found her body. When police began the investigation, they were also astonished by the disturbing and twisted circumstances that led to her death. Before I can tell you who killed Alexis Crawford, I have to take you back to the beginning, when Alexis Crawford was just a freshman at Clark Atlanta University, and she met her soon-to-be best friend, Jordan Jones. Alexis met Jordan Jones in her freshman year of college, and quickly they became friends. By 2019, their friendship had grown and they had become roommates. They got an apartment together near the Clark Atlanta campus. The two were so close that Alexis would often invite Jordan to spend holidays with her family. Alexis's family hosted Easter and Thanksgiving for Jordan. People who knew their friendship considered them to be two peas in a pod. Jordan was basically family to Alexis. That's why it was completely shocking when Jordan Jones was named as one of the suspects in Alexis's homicide case. The second person named as a suspect was Jordan's boyfriend, Baron Brantley. Investigators weren't exactly confident stating what they believed the motive for the murder was, but they found it interesting that 3 days before Alexis was last seen alive, she reported being the victim of a sexual assault that took place on October 26, 2019. And the suspect in the sexual assault claim was allegedly Baron Brantley. According to the incident report, Baron Brantley allegedly sexually assaulted Alexis at the apartment that she shared with Jordan. It is reported that the three of them, Alexis, Jordan, and Baron, were drinking alcohol together when Alexis blacked out. Alexis told police that she wasn't sure about everything that happened to her while she blacked out, but something just fell off. After telling police about the alleged sexual assault, she was sent to Grady Memorial Hospital to undergo a medical exam. It's important to note that it isn't clear if the medical exam showed any signs of sexual assault. After the incident, Alexis told her friends that she was really uncomfortable sleeping in her own bedroom, so she decided to sleep on the couch in their living room. 4 days after the alleged sexual assault, communication between Alexis and her family just stopped. October 30th, 2019 was the last time Alexis communicated with anyone in her family, and this fact is what spurred the investigation into her disappearance. The last family member that Alexis spoke to that day was her sister, Alexandria Crawford. They had exchanged text messages one last time around 8:45 p.m. on October 30th. Alexandria texted her sister, quote, "What are you doing for the weekend?" end quote, to which Alexis replied, quote, "Nothing," end quote. Other members of Alexis's family had tried to make contact with her that same night, but Alexis never replied to any of their messages. Later that night, on October 30th, Alexis and Jordan decided to go to the liquor store. According to later interviews with police, Jordan told them that she and Alexis hadn't been talking much since the alleged sexual assault. However, Alexis had still asked Jordan to take her to the store. When police checked the surveillance cameras near the liquor store, they realized that the photos captured by the surveillance cameras at D&M Package on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard were most likely the last public sightings of Alexis alive. According to a statement given by Jordan to the police, when Jordan awoke in the morning to head to class, she noticed that Alexis wasn't in their apartment. When a couple days had passed, and Alexis's family still hadn't received a reply or any form of communication from Alexis, they knew something was wrong. Her family reported her missing on November 1st, 2019. That same day, the investigation into her whereabouts began. In the following days, Alexis's family made desperate pleas to the public for Alexis's safe return. Her parents didn't know if someone took Alexis or if she ran away because of the events prior to her disappearance. All they knew was how desperately they wanted their daughter to return home safe. Obviously, the police started their investigation into Alexis's disappearance with her roommate and closest friend, Jordan Jones. They were interested in finding out if Jordan knew if Alexis ran away or if she was connected to anyone who would want to hurt her friend. However, Jordan told police that she had no idea where Alexis could be. Police moved on to the next step, launching a community-wide search for Alexis. While the search continued for Alexis on November 8th, a week after she was reported missing, detectives uncovered some interesting information, thanks to an admission from Baron Brantley, that led them to the heartbreaking conclusions that Alexis was a victim of a homicide. First, they discovered that within hours of Alexis's and Jordan's late-night alcohol run, the two had gotten into a physical altercation inside the apartment, and that Baron Brantley had later involved himself in the fight. The Atlanta Police Department claims that, quote, "As a result of the physical altercation, Baron Brantley choked the victim until she was deceased," end quote. The report goes on to say that Jordan and Baron placed Alexis in a plastic bin and moved her body to Exchange Park in Decatur, Georgia, where they placed her body in the woods. Because of Baron's admission to police, Alexis's body was found on November 8th. The discovery of Alexis's body was devastating for her family, as well as the many students who attended Clark Atlanta University with Alexis. The Sunday after her body was found, hundreds of students gathered to light candles in memory of Alexis. Alexis was one of 10 children, and now her family had to find a way to cope without an integral part of their close-knit family. Before Alexis's death, she was studying criminal justice. The mood on campus, after finding out about the murder, was uncomfortable to many students. It was hard for many of them to wrap their minds around such a passionate crime between two close friends. Everything about the murder of Alexis was frightening and unsettling. One student said, quote, "I don't feel safe, so I don't want to be out around campus anymore. And it also makes you think about who your friends are," end quote.
The Clark Atlanta student's murder shocked the community last November. Her family pleading with the judge today not to release her accused killer. 11 Alive's Latasha Givens joins us from Fulton County tonight.
During today's virtual hearing, Crawford's mother and father pleaded with the judge to not issue a bond for Jones, with the mother's tearful plea saying her daughter's killing was senseless. Jordan Jones and her boyfriend, Baron Brantley, are both accused of murdering Alexis Crawford last November. Jones was previously denied bond. But today, her attorneys asked the judge to reconsider, arguing she has helped with the investigation, has no previous criminal history other than a misdemeanor. They also pointed out that she has ties to the community and doesn't have a history of threatening or intimidating anyone. But prosecutors allege they found direct messages from Jones on social media encouraging Brantley to destroy surveillance video evidence from the apartment complex where Jones and Crawford lived. And they argued she was on probation for a DUI when Crawford was killed. Crawford's mother and father also addressed the judge during Jones' bond hearing today.
She died for no reason. No reason at all.
And for now, Jones remains in jail awaiting trial. We'll continue to follow this case.
9 months after the arrests of Jordan Jones and Baron Brantley for the murder of Alexis, more was revealed about the murder in a hearing in August 2020. In the hearing, the prosecuting lawyer revealed more about alleged direct messages Jordan sent to Baron. The prosecuting lawyer said that Jordan urged Baron to, quote unquote, get the job done and discard the video evidence outside of the apartment complex. In this same hearing, Alexis's mother also made a statement against granting Jordan bond. She told the judge that she feared for the safety of her other two children who live in Atlanta. She said she was worried about what would happen if they were to ever come in contact with Jordan Jones. And it turns out that Alexis's mother had reason to be scared. In a preliminary hearing in November 2019, a detective testified to the callousness of the murder. They revealed details which included Baron Brantley allegedly strangling Alexis while Jordan Jones allegedly held a plastic bag over her head. I think from this detective statement, Alexis's mother had the right to fear for the safety of the rest of her children. It's pretty clear from the detective statement that Jordan didn't just accidentally kill her friend in a blind rage. She methodically carried out Alexis's murder with the help of her boyfriend. It even seemed like she was leading the whole thing. Personally, I think this means she could have the capacity to do it again if given the chance. Alexis's mother begged for the judge not to grant her daughter's killer bond, saying, quote, "I cannot imagine a judge granting Jordan the freedom to walk around until her trial, while Alexis will never get to walk around anywhere ever again. Granting Jordan Jones bail would be a slap in the face to me and my family, and essentially spit on Alexis's grave," end quote. When Jordan Jones and Baron Brantley were initially charged for Alexis's murder, and being indicted by a Fulton County grand jury, they decided to waive their arraignments and plead not guilty. They both faced six charges, which included two counts of felony murder, a single count each of murder, aggravated assault, false imprisonment, and concealing the death of another. In addition, Baron Brantley faced a charge of aggravated sodomy for the sexual assault of Alexis. The district attorney also said that they would not seek the death penalty in the case. And this is where the case ends for now. I couldn't find any more information about the trial, or even if they've had one yet. From my research, the last hearing for the case was in August 2020. There is so much about this case that is heartbreaking. It's scary to think that Alexis trusted the wrong person, and that in the end it got her killed. Jordan Jones betrayed Alexis the moment she decided to cover up the rape and protect her boyfriend by killing her best friend. Alexis was known by many as funny, bright, affectionate, and fun. And I think it's also clear that Alexis was a trusting and welcoming person because she opened her family's home to Jordan. In life, we often expect that friendships will come and go and that our hearts may get broken along the way. But we never imagine that the reason why our friendships would end is because of murder. Alonzo Tyree Brooks was born on May 21, 1980, to Billy Brooks Sr. and Maria Ramirez. Alonzo had spent all of his life in Topeka, Kansas, and at 23 years old, he was working as a custodian for Countryside Maintenance in Gardner, Kansas. On the day of his disappearance, on April 2, 2004, Alonzo traveled with three friends to a party in Lacine, Kansas, which was approximately 50 miles south of Gardner, Kansas. According to those attending the party, Alonzo was one of only three black men at the party, so he was only one in a few people of color at a party with about 100 guests. This means he definitely stood out in a crowd, It also means the rumor that spread after his disappearance may hold some water. Allegedly, while at the party, racial slurs were made towards Alonzo, possibly sparking tension between Alonzo and the other partygoers. As the party continued on through the night, the friends Alonzo traveled with left the party without him at different times throughout the night. This left Alonzo with no ride home, in Kansas. After Alonzo never arrived home the next day, his family traveled to Lacine to investigate for themselves and to contact the local authorities. His family conducted their own search for Alonzo. The Linn County Police Department was taking on the case, but when they couldn't locate Alonzo, the case was handed over to the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. After the party, two troubling facts were indisputable. Alonzo could not be found, and no one who attended the party would admit to knowing what happened to him. Within the month after Alonzo's disappearance, the KBI and the FBI were unsuccessful in finding Alonzo. I find it interesting that the KBI and the FBI weren't able to locate Alonzo given that he was one of few people of color at that party. Someone had to have seen Alonzo leave. We know that white people stay in black people's business, so my question is, how did no one notice if Alonzo left the party or if something bad happened to Alonzo while at the party? How did the FBI or the KBI truly investigate this disappearance and walk away with no solid leads about Alonzo's whereabouts? It wouldn't be until a month later, after a group of his family and friends organized their own search, that Alonzo's body was found on top of a pile of brush and branches in a creek. What's mind-blowing is that his body was located on the property where the party took place a month prior. On May 1st, 2004, the Brooks family was allowed to search the property for their son. On the first day of the search effort, Alonzo's body was discovered on the banks of Middle Creek, adjacent to the house where the party took place. According to reports at the time, the sheriff's department and other law enforcement agencies searched areas around the farmhouse, including parts of nearby Middle Creek, but did not find Alonzo. So this leaves me with many questions, like, one, why did it take a month for Alonzo's family to get permission to search the property where their son was last seen? Two, how did law enforcement not find Alonzo's body during initial searches? His body wasn't concealed and it was on the property where the party took place, where he was last seen alive. Three, why must it be left up to the family to do the work of law enforcement? The Brooks family should have never had to stumble upon the dead body of their son. Because Alonzo died in 2004, and because of the lapse of time between his disappearance and discovery of his body, forensic analysis of the physical evidence at the time was limited. The post-mortem examination of Alonzo's body determined that Alonzo did not have any broken bones, no signs of blunt force trauma or injury, and no signs of drowning in the lungs. Because of this, the pathologist did not determine Alonzo's cause of death. For years, the suspicious death of Alonzo Brooks was just relegated to a mystery. Without a cause of death determined, the case eventually went cold. But in 2019, the Department of Justice and FBI reopened the investigation into his death. According to then U.S. Attorney Stephen McAllister, quote, "We are investigating whether Alonzo was murdered. His death was certainly suspicious, and someone, likely multiple people, know what happened that night in April 2004. It is past time for the truth to come out. The code of silence must be broken. Alonzo's family deserves to know the truth, and it is time for justice to be served," end quote. By June of 2020, the FBI had announced that they were offering up a reward of up to $100,000 to anyone who had information about his death. They also added that Alonzo's death was now going to be investigated as a potentially racially motivated crime. A month later, in July 2020, Alonzo Brooks' body was exhumed by the FBI from his grave in Topeka. His body was transported to Dover Air Force Base for examination by the Armed Forces Medical Examiner after it was exhumed, according to the news release from the FBI Kansas City Division. The examiner concluded in their report that Alonzo's death was due to homicide. After the determination, then-acting U.S. Attorney Dustin Slinkard stated in a news release, quote, "We knew that Alonzo Brooks died under very suspicious circumstances. This new examination by a team of the world's best forensic pathologists and experts establishes it was no accident. Alonzo Brooks was killed. We are doing everything we can and will spare no resources to bring those responsible to justice," end quote. From the beginning of the case, rumors always swirled that Alonzo was a victim of foul play. And according to the FBI, Many theories have surfaced about why Alonzo was targeted. According to the FBI, some witnesses have said that Alonzo may have flirted with a white girl and that it may have created racial tension between some people who attended the party. Another theory from the FBI, based on witness statements, said that white men who were drunk that night wanted to fight a black man, while other witnesses told the FBI that some racist white people at the party simply resented Alonzo's presence. Alonzo's mother, Maria, has always believed that her son was targeted because of his race. She told the media, quote, "I'm Mexican and his father is black, so he's mixed. They didn't just target one race or kill one race, they killed two. He was targeted because of the color of his skin," end quote. And I agree with Maria. It is so incredibly suspicious that one of the few persons of color at that party happened to disappear. Also, if what witnesses say are true, if Alonzo was flirting with a white woman that night, it wouldn't be the first time that a black man has been targeted for speaking with a white woman. And it's beyond suspicious to me that Alonzo's family wasn't allowed to search the property where the party took place until a month later. It comes across like the owners of the property had something to hide. On July 1st, 2020, Alonzo's case was featured in the fourth episode titled No Ride Home of the 15th season of the Unsolved Mysteries TV series. And it seems the exposure of his case has helped the FBI with their investigations because by November 2020, Unsolved Mysteries stated that the FBI had learned of a second party in Lacine the night Alonzo disappeared. Apparently, attendees of the party left after a fight broke out, then headed to the farmhouse where Alonzo was last seen. Anyone with information about the case of Alonzo Brooks is encouraged to call the FBI at 816-512-8200 or 816-474-TIPS. Or you can submit a tip online at fbi.tips.gov. If you want to interact with the podcast on social media or share with me some of your own theories about the cases, be sure to follow the podcast on Twitter at the LCL Pod. Don't forget to share the podcast so we can get more attention for these very important cases. And don't forget to follow the Lost Crimes Library so you won't miss any new episodes. Thank you for supporting the show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.